escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Jason Leisure's still here.
Hello.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I know if I write something really critical, I'm back in there next day and I will see that person face to face. So I better write responsibly. That doesn't mean pull punches.
No.
But that means what you write needs to be well supported, and it shouldn't be something that you'd have a problem saying to that person's face.
Jason Leisure.
You get out there on the field, but then you love that and the weather's great in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And you come back to the back of house area. Does it remind you how much you guys need a new stadium?
I don't want to say that. I'm sure it reminds you of that, yeah.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love talking ball with Jason Leisure, and we're getting closer and closer to it being real. He's at Hallis Hall today, and apparently that practice was banana pants, so we are going to talk with him about it. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hello, Mr. Leisure. How are you?
Hello. You guys want to talk about practice today, huh?
Yeah,
practice
we do.
Style.
Yeah, man. Like, it seems to be a good thing that they stunk and were sloppy on Sunday. Ben was clearly disappointed, and at least they came out today and were frisky and the pads are popping. Can I read that as a good sign?
Yeah, I think so. And also, it looked pretty good. The offense looked pretty good today. I thought Caleb had one of his better days. So, positive all around. You could tell the second I walked out there, I was talking to Herb Howard, and nothing had happened yet, but I was like, you can see it. You can see that defense right now. You can just tell by the body language and the energy with Tremaine Edmonds and Grady Jarrett, neither of which I don't think was involved in one of the little scuffles, but you could just see it had that vibe to it. And it was, there were multiple skirmishes in the first 45 minutes, and it never really settled down. It continued all the way to the end. It was, Roshan Johnson going against Jonathan Owens, and Jonathan Owens trying to punch the ball loose after the play was already over. So Roshan takes a swing at Jonathan Owens, and then Jonathan Owens tackles him to the ground. You got DeAndre Swift after a play chucking a football in the face mask of Dayo Odengbo. Braxton Jones got into it with Dayo, and then Javon Dexter comes in and shoves him. Those are all separate incidents, by the way. I mean, it was just every position,
wow,
every level of the depth chart, it was just that kind of practice.
I like those types of practices.
Me too, man. I mean, like, as long as they're not
Texas style.
Were they endangering each other? Was there any, like, were their helmets getting ripped off?
Was there a Martellus Bennett moment where he takes Kyle Fuller and body slams him to the ground?
Or Kyle Long a few years back? This is probably my favorite training camp scuffle I've ever seen, was 2019. Kyle Long takes off his own helmet and starts swinging it at a rookie. And then the clincher is that once that is separated, Kyle Long goes to the sideline and throws up, just vomits on the side, just rage barf on the sideline. And then the penalty for that, of course, from Matt Nagy was that not only was Kyle Long not going to play in the upcoming preseason game, but he didn't even have to travel for the upcoming preseason game. So I'm not sure what lesson was learned from that.
Quite the punishment.
Rage barfing is no fun.
Fun to watch, though. It's funny. Yeah. Just a rage barf all over the side. You know what? Most likely, he probably swallowed some chewing tobacco, would be my guess.
So did anybody endanger themselves or their teammates today?
I know, but there were a couple times where, especially when you get the O-line and the D-line, they're just so big that it's like, you want to break this up quick. You don't want, Braxton Jones and Dio Odengbo are going at it, and Andrew Billings is involved. I mean, picture the size of the people I'm mentioning. And then Jervon Dexter comes in and kind of torpedoes and knocks down Braxton. You don't want anybody that size landing on somebody's legs.
Can you confirm something I read in a tweet that after practice was done, Braxton Jones, who was involved in several things, like you say, immediately went over towards the defense and was shaking hands, like it, as if to reestablish the teammate thing after the feistiness. Can you confirm that?
I can't confirm that specifically. I don't remember seeing that specifically, but it was interesting. They usually when we watch practice, the last drill is kind of wrapping up and it's third or fourth string guys or whatever, and we'll all start heading in. But this was not that kind of day. It was like, let's stay. Let's see how the, calling everybody together in the middle of the field goes. And it was very civil. It did seem like everything had moved on. Everybody was able to coexist. And Ben Johnson seemed to be telling them good work. Ben Johnson asked for this, by the way, according to the guys that we talked to after practice, like Tyreek Stevenson and Nashawn Wright, that Ben Johnson told them, hey, let's see it today. Let's prove it today. And they have live periods. I mean, this was easily the toughest, most hard-nosed practice I've seen since I've been covering the Bears.
What do you make of that?
It's interesting because Ben Johnson, I think he's 38, so he's a young coach. So he's definitely one of these guys who would be thinking analytically about things. And, I think that would apply when he's talking about who's going to play in the preseason games and how hard are they going to go in practice, how much live tackling is there going to be. But he's also, for a younger coach, very hard-nosed. He's very intense. And so somewhere in between being pulled by those two opposite thoughts, I think he wants to see real live contact in practice, and they've been doing it.
That's fun to hear the coach they went through this thing on Sunday, and it wasn't great, and then they come back, and now they have a festive practice. But you've covered so many training camps, whether it's Bears or the Dolphins. This is about the time when this type of thing happens, right?
Yeah, and practice has mostly been around 8 a.m. And, it's toasty outside today, and they had practice at 12:30. So, that always plays into it. I had been kind of wondering if we would have seen it in some of the contact periods, the full live tackling periods, earlier than this. But man, it usually happens sometime around now, if not sooner. I did kind of feel like it was odd that we hadn't seen anything like that. And especially with the Dolphins coming in at the end of the week for a joint practice, I was kind of wondering what Ben Johnson would tolerate or not tolerate. Because if you go back a couple of years ago when the Bears were doing preseason joint practices with the Colts in Indiana, Matt Eberflus was, or maybe it was last year with the Bengals, but either way, Matt Eberflus was really clear that if there's an incident of any kind of fighting or anything like that, you're out of here. And that may very well be Ben Johnson's policy when they have a joint practice, because you really don't want anybody injuring anybody in that. But today, I mean, not only did he seem to encourage it, Lawrence, from the start of telling everybody, hey, let's get serious here at practice, but there was no rush for the most part by anybody that I saw to break things up when they got started.
Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times is with us on Spiegel & Holmes. Over the weekend, at one point I opened up the old sports app and I saw football highlights because they played a game. There was a football game. It was a Hall of Fame game. the Bears have a game on Sunday. There's a joint practice and then a football game. And I mean, so this week has a chance to feel like an actual football season with a feisty practice today and the other stuff that's going on. Is it going to feel like a football season? Because we got word today, we're not even sure if the first stringers are going to play that much. What is your sense of if we're going to see, you know, Caleb and the number one targets and such?
Yeah, I don't think it's really going to feel quite like a game week yet because of that. And when you see coaches, this is becoming more and more of a trend with the joint practices, they call that the game reps. And then they don't play anybody or don't play anyone very long in the actual preseason game. Ben Johnson hasn't said. He said today he was still working through it. And I think he was telling the truth when he said that, that they had a meeting soon to talk through that. But I guess you could see something where they run through a bunch of game scenarios in the controlled atmosphere of practice where you can make sure Caleb doesn't take any hits or Case Keenum doesn't take any hits, and then kind of count that as the game reps. And maybe Caleb and the first team offense go through warmups, go through meetings and everything like that and play, you know, one series. That'd be my guess at this point, but I don't think we're going to find out for sure until Friday.
I don't think that it matters. Like, I don't have enough data to tell me that it matters. And I know that there's a whole thing today about that, whether or not the playing people in the preseason matters. But there's a part of me when it comes to the concept of the joint practice as a curtain, like for a dress rehearsal for the season, I don't like it because the quarterback is not in peril.
Yes. Yes. Lauren, I couldn't agree more. He's got to feel the fear, because that's what can rattle you. You know, I think he needs to have, just from an educational perspective, chances to walk up to the line and decide if he's going to communicate the right thing and, like, decide what he's supposed to read and then run the play while having the fear of getting his ass kicked, because that's football. I totally agree. Where are you, Jason, on that?
I think that Caleb Williams is getting a lot of the intensity everything but getting hit in practice and from Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson is coaching him so hard right now and treating him like a rookie in a way that last year's staff maybe was afraid to, but either way, whatever the reason, they didn't do it. I do think, though, when you're talking about some of the more mobile quarterbacks, we had this conversation with Justin Fields when he was here, and Caleb, it really is important that they feel the actual pressure of the defense, because you'll see these plays where you're like, okay, well, Justin Fields takes off for a 40-yard run, and you sit there and you're like, I don't know if that happens in a game in the same scenario, because 40-yard runs are a lot easier when no one's allowed to touch you.
100%. That's why and as far as, like, even the timing of passing plays, to me, if you know that someone's going to blow the whistle and you don't have to climb the pocket or scramble or any of that stuff, it just feels different. But look, I'm sure that the coaches in the NFL have done a lot of study on this. I haven't clearly done as much. It's just a feel thing for me.
But when you're saying the study, are you basing it on the, like, how well a team played or a quarterback played in the season?
Well, played in the season and the risk reward part of it.
Yeah.
To them, the risk reward, it's not worth it. And I understand where they're coming from. I just feel like, especially in like certain situations, it makes more sense. Like a quarterback learning a new system.
That's the thing. To me, it's like, it's got to be a process over results kind of thing. And as you're in your educational process, I can't imagine it not making sense to Ben Johnson to put his quarterback out there to give him a chance to feel everything he's going to feel.
Yeah, so I get where they're coming from. It's just, it's something that I do wonder about if if they go, hey, that's a missed opportunity, when it's like, oh, well, the play is just dead and he can just throw the ball in the ground and he doesn't have to worry about getting hit.
Hey, Jason, a texter says, for a risk-averse guy who even wears a helmet indoors, Matt Spiegel is quick to want to put others in peril. The helmet.
You did have it on yesterday when we were going to the elevator.
It's just a convenience issue. If I'm going to go ride the bike and wear a helmet, Jason, why not just wear the helmet on my head as opposed to carrying it? I'm not bothered by how stupid I look. I'm just, it frees up my hands to do other things. That's all.
So for what amount of time were you indoors, Matt, and wearing a helmet?
From the time,
or convenience, as you call it.
From the time our show ended yesterday until we said goodbye to each other at the elevator banks.
Sure.
He was wearing his helmet.
What about elevator banks?
Were your hands full? Did you have a
Yes, they were. I had
All right. Well, then I'm okay with it.
Yes.
Because you're trying to find, I don't want to make multiple trips if I'm Matt. So, you know, the helmet is something that my head can carry for me.
That's what I'm saying, Jason.
I'm okay with that.
God love you.
You said that this was one of the better practices for Caleb Williams. Why?
Oh, man, what a topic. So this doesn't mean I think they're winning the Super Bowl this year. I just have to preface it with that, because there's just these crowds of people that just wait to rip everything that happens with Caleb Williams. And then there's these crowds that I just want to already crown him every time he has a good practice. And it's never either of those. I think he looked really sharp. I didn't see sloppy procedural errors today. He had a really good pass up the left sideline, about 40-yard touchdown pass to Romo Dunze. He had one that was a near pick on the right sideline that he should have known better than to test whether Kyler Gordon could close on that to DJ Moore. But overall, pretty good practice for Caleb. It's their 11th practice. And I would say three of those have been good for Caleb. Three of those have been okay. And five have been, you know, pretty bad.
I mean, yeah, it's but it's odd. I just want to know that the process is working. And so this is where I want to trust what the coach is saying. On that topic, did you find his disappointment as voiced about what happened Sunday to be as impactful as we did? Like, I feel like the anger can be a choice, but the genuine disappointment was enough to make me go, oh boy, that's not good.
Yeah. And it's necessary. And it's a departure from his predecessors, where there's just so few things that Chicago Bears fans, and the media for that matter, hate more than one of these coaches coming up here for the Bears and telling you what you just saw wasn't what you just saw. It's not as bad as it looks. Stop saying it's not as bad as it looks when it looks pretty bad. Instead, acknowledge it and convey some sense of what you're going to do about it. And I think that Ben Johnson did that. I don't think Ben Johnson's falling in either camp here of waiting to pounce on Caleb's mistakes and write him off as a bust, or waiting for him to have a good practice and crown him for it. I think Ben Johnson would be kind of in the line of saying, it's okay to say this doesn't look great right now, but I still think it will become great eventually. So, it's okay for Caleb to be in this spot right now, more than a month before the season opener. And I think what you have right now with the Bears is they've gone and gotten the coach and the quarterback that everybody wanted. Granted, not at the same time, like would have been better. But Caleb Williams is, nobody disputes that he's high-end talent. I don't think anybody disputes that he's very smart. And I think some people misunderstand how driven he is. He's got those three things. And he is now being paired with a coach who has expertise. Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky didn't have his talent or his savvy in the pocket. They were both very driven, both those guys very serious, but they didn't have what Caleb has. And I think that if you are going to bet on something, you want to bet on that type of talent and mind and effort combined with Ben Johnson's expertise. And you saw last year, Caleb Williams, I thought had like a pretty decent rookie season, all things considered. If you take all the context into account, he looked better to me. He looked more ready than Justin Fields or Mitch Trubisky were in year three. And that's while playing with Shane Waldron, who got fired, and Matt Eberflus, who got fired, and an offensive line that pretty much got fired in the offseason, and Keenan Allen, who pretty much got fired in the offseason. That's his floor. That I don't think it goes any worse than what you saw last year for Caleb Williams.
Jason, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for I checked in with the big homie so that you know I could make my way to practice. So I appreciate you squiring me around at Hallis Hall and helping me out. It's much appreciated, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. See ya.
That's a really good and thoughtful answer that, if anybody's actually listening, is extremely optimistic about Caleb Williams in those last couple of minutes there. That last year, with everything he had to deal with, still produced what it did, that's his floor.
That's why I say bust is off the table for Caleb Williams.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right. So I think bust is off the table. That said, while it could be bumpy for a while as he learns all of this and adjusts to all of this, but hold on to what he was last year with that big pile of crap around him. Hold on to that. And you'll have to remember that during those times where your patience is getting tested.
Do you remember yesterday when we did like a really positive White Sox segment?
I do. We talked about the team now. We talked about Colson Montgomery, who, by the way, MLB.com is selling. It's their free TV game of the day. Josh Naylor versus Colson Montgomery was the visual that was out there. A lot of positivity with the White Sox yesterday.
With that, we'll pivot to the negative.
Yeah, we need to hear Rick Hahn give voice to some of the things that happen during the end of his tenure as general manager of the White Sox, which means we have to open up a can of worms. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Jerry agreed to meet with me. He denies this part of the story to this day, but when I walked into his office, he was facing the other way, and he explained that I was wasting his time, that I was wasting my time.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
All right, now that needs some context, Tanny. That was before Rick Hahn got into the business.
Not much.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That was his entry.
But yeah.
He's previously talked about, Rick Hahn has previously talked about a whole bunch of different interactions with Jerry Reinsdorf. I think Daddy just likes to picture Jerry with his back to somebody.
You ever have that before in a workplace environment? I'm
trying to think.
Yep.
No, I added an email form one time where I was so clear that I was an afterthought.
It was made very clear on a lot of different fronts with that particular person.
Yeah, and somebody, I've had multiple.
Oh,
emails.
Yeah, that's right. You've run into a bunch of bad radio executives.
Well, you can't let them define you. You can't let their perception of your value define your own self-worth.
That's a very difficult thing for people with robust egos to deal with.
It's kind of like getting fired when you're the general manager of a baseball team. I mean, you got to be careful not to let that person tell you that you ain't dog crap when maybe you're better than that.
So look, maybe. I don't want anyone to think that we enjoy wallowing in the sadness that has been the White Sox over the last 5 years. We don't. I would very much love to love the White Sox again because I care about a lot of people who worked there, like Rick, and people who still work there right now.
Sure, but when you get what we're getting now from Rick, which is a recently departed general manager
who finally feels comfortable enough to say some of this stuff publicly.
Yes, and then he ends up on this podcast called Rosters to Rings, which is hosted by two former professional sports executives, Ryan McDonough, who was an NBA general manager, Thad Levine, who was a baseball general manager in Texas.
So and played for the Bulls for a few years, right?
Thad Levine. So you basically have three personnel bosses who've all dealt with owners and teams and a little success and plenty of failure talking about it. So you get some next level context.
Yeah, there's some comfort in that. And this is what Rick had to say about how he got fired on Rosters and Rings.
Jerry Reinsdorf and Kenny Williams took a chance on me in 2000 when they first hired me. And again, it sounds silly given the current state of the game. But as we talked about earlier back then, there weren't a lot of people like us getting these opportunities. And not only did they give me that first opportunity, but they continued to give me more and more areas for growth to put me in a position where I could become a general manager. So I was forever grateful for that, as well as over the years, you know, the friendship, the counsel, the advice, antagonism when I needed it to push me to get better. All helped form, you know, who I was as an executive, but also like who I was as a man and a father and a husband. I'm forever indebted to them both. But part of that, I feel, comes with a responsibility to be honest. And, you know, as I mentioned, the 2022 season, we sputtered around. We didn't fulfill our promise. And the 2023 season got off to a horrible start, just a disaster. And Jerry and I think had our first conversation in early May of that year, where I said to him, you know, the focus of the conversation was, what are we going to do to get out of this? What can we do? What are their options? But I ended that meeting by saying, look, you do realize if we can't pull out of this, you're going to have to fire me. And he's like, no, that's just silly. That's not the case. I have faith in you. I said, no, I appreciate that. I said, however, you've given me and our department the opportunity to rebuild this organization. And we had some success, certainly not nearly enough in our opinion, or as much as we have strove for. But if this doesn't work in 23, you're going to have to reset it again. And that's just the nature of where this organization is and where our resources is and where our balance sheets are. And I'm not entitled to get to do that a second time. Like, you have to understand that. I get it. I can, you know, it's not going to be ugly. It's going to be clean if you ever get to that point. We had similar conversations in June, July, and August. You know, he really was reluctant to make a change. You know, I felt it was part of my job, as one of the leaders in the organization to protect others. I didn't want the coaching staff to feel the ire. Kenny, you know, as someone who had been wonderful to me for over two decades and had is the GM when we won the World Series and played a key role in many of our successes together. You know, he had a deeper relationship with Jerry going back an extra decade plus longer than my 23 years. And I felt as the GM, he could remove me and just me and things would be back on track. There at least would be more consumer and fan confidence and perhaps a different approach that could exceed even the level of success we were able to rebuild the thing into over the course of the last few years. When it came to the end, the actual final conversation where he, you know, let me go, you know, it was more me consoling him, frankly. Like, it was especially him making the move with Kenny. Like, that, he's, as he has said publicly, like, Kenny was like an additional son to him. And that really, really hit him hard. I think he didn't love firing me either, but that one was like family. And they remain extremely close to this day because of that history. And I, you know, in talking with Kenny later that day, like, both of us are, I think, had similar experiences where it was letting this kind and generous man who had been good to both of us understand that we got it. This is, you know, as Chaim Roth said, this is the business we have chosen. Like, this is part of what comes with the territory, and it objectively was time.
That's amazing. It when you've lived and worked in this town as long as we have, Lawrence, and you know what you think you know about the White Sox organization, then you hear that. It's a lot of feelings, isn't it? It's like heartbreaking for an organization that lost its way, but it's also kind of endearing because of the genuine relationships and the kindness and the love that was all there with those people. It's just that it's a competitive endeavor that lost sight of competition being the number one thing. It was a family business and it still is, but you know, it's an owner who has gone towards loyalty and love and relationships more than he's gone towards genuinely doing everything he can to win time and time and time again. And that's his choice. It's his toy. It's his thing. But it comes at the expense of millions of fans. And that's the hard part.
Yep. And that tracks with what I had learned about what was going on with that process, and Jerry does have like a familial relationship with both Kenny and Rick. And that too can be a difficult place when you have someone who can kind of, who you look at righteously, like as a father figure or as a grandfather type figure. Those feelings and the raw business aspect of it can get conflated, and it can sometimes end up not being the best for anyone involved when there does need to be change of perspective or change in personnel available. And there was some of that at the end of this thing. I'm glad that Rick is out here kind of talking about it, though. I actually, like, knowing Rick, like, I think it's good for him that he's at least talking about some of this stuff publicly, and some of it is complicated. And I know there's probably a White Sox fan that's like, I don't want to hear it. And I get that too. I get the White Sox fan that's like, I just want the team to be better.
Sure. I get that too. But like, this opportunity for Rick to choose his forums very carefully, as he is. Mm-hmm. So he has plenty of time and space to lay it out exactly as he wants in his classic way with all the personal caveats. And then he pivots to the negative, you know, but even that comes with humanity and with realness. I don't know how you don't find it compelling as an observer of sports and an observer of succession and family dynamics and business writ large and innumerable seasons that you've seen go well and then go poorly. And then you've punched in the air and wondered why it goes poorly. You're finding it out.
Yeah, it can be heartbreaking. Like, 'cause you think about how close they were. And you're like, man, there's a breakthrough. And you could start to feel the breakthrough. And there was this void too. And because the Cubs weren't like fulfilling their potential. And it looked like they hadn't quite the Madden years were over. And it's like, how are we gonna get this thing back on track? And mm-hmm. there was this pocket that the White Sox were in. And it was like, hey, if you were ever going to do the thing where you think organizationally you can actually take a bigger footprint of fans, it was right there.
Oh, it absolutely was.
Now put yourself in Rick's shoes where you're like, we're finally at this point.
Right.
We've made a big boy move. Our team was in the playoffs and we fired our manager because of how things went in the playoffs. Now we're ready to take the big swing with the big manager that knows exactly what to do to get this team to winning baseball.
Yep.
And then Jerry goes, hold on.
He says, hey, it's my vanity project. And I would like to right a wrong that I have felt for 30 some years. I'd like to make that better in my heart. And I think it's fine. I appreciate what you've built, but my guy's going to be the one that you need.
And that's
it's like the golden rule. Who's got the goal makes the rules.
There it is.
And that's where the familial aspect can be poisonous. Because if you're Kenny and you're Rick and you're like, we don't think this is a good idea. Yeah, but, you know, it's my guy.
It's a fascinating thing because it's very easy to paint Jerry Reinsdorf as this very clean villain.
No, and
he's a lot more than that.
I think there's a lot of stuff that you can point to with the loyalty of Jerry Reinsdorf, specifically with the White Sox, that I think was forward thinking and heroic.
And admirable for long periods. But I think this text from our guy Scott in Oak Park is interesting. Wow, I just wish Jerry didn't treat us fans and customers with the equal amount of contempt as the amount of care he clearly has for his employees. Mm-hmm. That's well said.
I think that there are a lot of fans who feel that way, and I understand them feeling that way. And this, it's just... Tanny, you feel me? It sucks.
Yeah, it's because like any of us would like to work for someone like that. Like that type of family vibe. Like, you know, like it's awesome. We have a lot of that here. You know what I mean? The support and the love that a lot of us have for each other.
Yes.
But it really, like, I just wish there were more safeguards so things didn't get as bad as they did with the on-field product. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I wish there were more people. And I, you know, I know Rick is a smart guy. I know he was saying all the things that
trying.
We all wanted to be said.
But Rick gets mixed in it too, because Rick's saying, I'll step down so the coaching staff doesn't have to. Some of those members of the coaching staff, lovely people who deserve to be fired years and years
before.
But
again, you'd love to work for a guy like Rick Hahn because of that. You know, it's a double-edged sword, you know, like it's tough, man. It's tough to hear it.
Lawrence didn't hear this from the other day during the radiothon from Liam Hendricks. And I really want to play it for you. And then maybe we can close the book on some of this, because I think we had a chance. I couldn't resist, in the middle of cancer fundraising, to ask Liam Hendricks the million-dollar question.
All right, so let's hear from Liam Hendricks about White Sox stuff next here on The Score.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday fast?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Afternoons on the Score.
I'm Ross said, this is the business we have chosen.
This is the business we've chosen. I didn't ask who gave the order because it had nothing to do with business.
I just can't imagine how Chris Tannehill feels when his mob movie life and his White Sox fan life collide with that reference. I mean, what happens?
He just had it loaded up and ready to go, too. How about that?
When you hear that, Tanny, it's like this is it. This is the peak of my career. Doesn't get any better than this. Good night, everybody.
I feel like Tanny's just going to do like the blackjack dealer. Like you're at Circa and the shift chain. You know what? I'm done.
I'm clean.
I can go out.
I'm out. So a couple weeks ago when the Red Sox were in town, I talked to Lucas Giolito and I said, Lucas, as we were talking about stuff, I'm like, hey, by the way, looking back, Lucas, what do you think went wrong with those White Sox teams when you had, young you and Garrett Crochet and Dylan Cease and Carlos Rodon all on the same team, among other things, What do you think went wrong? And he said, well, I've been asked that question a lot. And then gave me an answer. And said, we just weren't good enough. He said, we just weren't good enough. And that's what it was. And then off the record, we talked a little bit more. But that's what he said. We just weren't good enough. Had the opportunity to ask Liam Hendricks about it, Lawrence.
Oh, Lord.
The other day, I couldn't resist the opportunity.
Complacency, I honestly think. Look, we had such immense talent. And we had some guys do some really special things that year. That when it came to the offseason, we had a really good year. We ended up losing to the Astros, anyone who's been around the game knows that the Astros are probably one of the better playoff performing teams in our generation. Every time they may limp in, but when they get there, they can turn it on, and that's something special. We end up losing to those guys. I think we got a little ahead of ourselves. We got a little complacent. We added some pieces in there that but the clubhouse vibe changed a little bit. Guys got a little bit too big-headed. They wanted to do things their own way with their own agenda, and it started to be less of a team and more of a a little bit more kind of selfish stuff going on. But look, that's part of every clubhouse, and unfortunately, we couldn't turn the corner and get over that, and it didn't end up quite as good as we wanted to, and as quite as long as we expected to when I signed there.
Oh my goodness, Lawrence, that was a real answer from Liam Hendricks. Your thoughts?
I've always appreciated Liam and his ability to tell the truth. He has always been a truth teller. Again, these are not things that we didn't hear coming out of those clubhouses.
No.
We heard a lot about that. We heard from different sections of that team, of guys wanting things done their way and guys feeling like they were maybe not bigger than the team, but bigger than taking suggestions from particular managers. Like, if there was a lot of that inside of that clubhouse, ITC.
So when they go from a team that loses the Astros in the playoffs to a team that goes 81-81 and it goes ugly, Yasmani Grandal had a terrible year in 2022 at age 33. He was not new, right? Andrew Vaughn had a terrible, terrible year.
It seemed to be given a lot of rope that he didn't deserve.
Right, and had a terrible year.
By the way, he's on a 10-game hit streak now for Milwaukee.
Is he?
Yes.
Yoan Moncada had a horrific year for him with a 626 OPS. Eloy Jimenez had a pretty good year overall for when he played and when he was healthy. So, I mean, those are some of the names of the regulars that you think about. In terms of the pitchers, Giolito obviously did not have a great year
for
him.
Worst pitch in baseball.
But he mentioned the new acquisitions where the clubhouse vibe changed.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Joe Kelly.
Uh-huh.
Kendall Graveman.
Uh-huh. Keep going.
Craig Kimbrell.
Uh-huh.
Josh Harrison, which I thought was a good clubhouse.
Well, remember, Kimbrell came over at the deadline in 21, so he was a part of the good team.
Oh, right. My
Although
bad.
Their
My
second
bad.
Half record, though,
right.
I said, don't have Kimbrell, give him his spot as closer.
I'll never forget this. Tanny, that team was the first team to clinch, and they ended up as the seventh seed. That's wild.
That is wild.
Wild.
So, look, there's not a lot of new players that change the clubhouse vibe. Liam did not get along with Joe Kelly.
How about that next Folks. Year? How about another starting pitcher that a lot of people seem to have issues with?
You're talking about Lance Lynn in 23?
I am.
Well, no, he's there in 22.
That's a name that you shouldn't skip over.
No, I should not. I should not skip over Lance Lynn. See, this is why I needed you. That's why I needed you for these conversations, because I'm trying to figure it all out. And yes, Lance Lynn was there in 21, but yeah, things got bad in 22.
Yep.
Yeah, tough. Then complacency. That is some ugly truths right there. God.
That's what I always say when people ask me, like, what will ultimately be the story of those teams. And complacency is not always players. Sometimes it's organization. I wonder if the players felt like, oh, we're not getting the support that we need, so who cares?
Yeah, I think that what happened is that they realized they had a manager who was going through health crises and hadn't been very peppy to begin with, and they had an organization that thought it was a good idea to hand him the keys with a whole bunch of coaches that were outclassed and should not have been there. So, Tanny, I think you're exactly right. They realized the whole thing was rotten.
We're on our own.
And they became rotten in the process.
I always go back to the weird-ass Minnesota Twins thing. The "you're mean" thing, to me, it was a flashpoint. And it was a flashpoint because I think that one, it was like, wow, your manager did that. Two, it maybe pushed Tim Anderson into a leadership position that he was not quite ready for.
Yeah, and part of his leadership had to be, screw these guys. We got this.
Yeah.
We got this. Let's do it in spite of these guys.
We'll have to handle it, but he wasn't quite ready to handle any of this stuff.
It's grim.
Okay. Well, thanks.
No, we did.
Thanks.
We did that.
Thanks for those 30 minutes, Speaks. Thanks a lot.
I think we've processed that, and now we can move on. Back to positive White Sox things the next time we talk about them.
Sure. And Bear Sit is coming up. Chris Emmett was at practice. He has got sound for you. Don't go anywhere. We're going to catch you up on what was a pad-popping practice at Halas Hall next on The Score.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.